your local radio station. This is BBC Radio Bristol. Thank you so much for your company on this Tuesday, the 6th of August, the time now 17 minutes past two. Delighted to say I'm joined by my guest in this hour of the show. It's Rob Acton-Campbell. Rob, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And Rob is from the Bristol and Bath Parks Foundation, which we'll talk about in detail in a moment. But let's find out a little bit about you. Where are you from originally? Where were you born?
So I was born in Warwickshire.
Oh, right.
Went to school in Stratford-upon-Avon, Shakespeare's school in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Oh, fabulous. Well, yeah. I love Stratford. I suppose it's a bit different when you're actually doing academia there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Full of tourists, isn't it?
Yeah.
Block up the roads. What about after that? Did you go to college then?
So, university in Bristol, and like so many other people, stayed in Bristol because I like Bristol.
And what did you study at university?
I did civil engineering.
Okie dokie.
And got a job in construction.
All right. And did you travel through that?
I had a couple of stints, one out in Dubai and went to Cyprus for a while. But it all sounds very exotic, doesn't it, working abroad?
Well, tell me briefly about that, because Dubai has just gone nuts in the last 20 years. Yeah. What was it like when you went there?
Well, I think it's about 2001, something like that.
Yeah, so it was on its way then.
It's on its way, yeah.
Because my wife went there when she was a teenager and she said it was just like nothing.
It's really odd. I mean, you get this sort of square of sand in the middle of the city because they haven't built anything there yet.
It's not sustainable, though. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's a really strange sort of atmosphere as well.
Well, they've obviously made the decision with the oil money to try and come up with some tourism industry that will perpetuate wealth in the future. But I think because simply there isn't the water there, long term, 50 years hence, when the oil's dried up, it's just going to fall apart, isn't it?
That's right. I think so. I suppose they've got solar power, haven't they? There's plenty of that.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but they're still going to have to downsize that, that indoor ski slope they've got in a shopping mall. What were you working on at that time there?
Oh, it was a big apartment block that was being built by somebody paying some, I don't know, millions of pounds in cash.
How long were you there for?
It was a 6-week stint out there.
So, unbearably hot?
Yes.
And I think you said Cyprus as well, did you?
Yeah, a brief spell in Cyprus as well. But I mean, you go to these places and really you spend most of your time in the hotel and then go to the office. And,
can be a bit lonely, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, you're retired these days and you fill your time with a bit of travel and also with your love of outdoor spaces. I suppose you've always had a love of parks and green places, have you?
Well, absolutely. But when I moved to, we moved to St. George when I got married, and the view from our window is fantastic, just Troopers Hill, local nature reserve.
So you're a member of the Friends of Troopers Hill.
That's right. So that's sort of where the interest in parks all started from. That was set up in 2003. So I was a founder member of the committee with my wife. And we just open the curtains. That's the first thing we see is Troopers Hill, the chimney and the heather. And you just have to be, you get interested in that because that's the view. You've got to look after the view from your window.
Prior to that, to you moving to that property, had you, earlier in your life always had an interest in visiting parks and going out into the great outdoors?
Interest in the outdoors. At university, I got involved in canals. So we were doing a bit of canal restoration. We used to go what we used to call dirty weekends away to go and dig out mud and restore.
And from what I hear, they were absolutely filthy. you're interested in other local places. There's a little article about you in one of the free mags. And not only do you advocate Troopers Hill, St. George's Park as well. That's a super park, isn't it?
St. George is fantastic. I mean, that's our local sort of traditional park, if you like. And I think it really is one of the most beautiful parks in the country because the shape of it. I mean, we used to have a brook where the lake is now. There used to be a brook running through the middle of it, the Wayne Brook. And so they've used the sort of shape of the land when they were forming the park. So some of the trees there are fantastic. The avenue of plane trees is just... it looks brilliant in the summer, but also in the winter, especially if we have snow. It's a fantastic place.
Another place you recommend is Queen Square, which is an odd choice in a way because it's right in the heart of Bristol and for many years had a road running right through the middle of it.
Well, that's right. And that's really why I chose that, because when I came to university in Bristol, it was the ring road ran right through it. I mean, it was just like a dual carriageway through the middle. It was nothing. You wouldn't think of spending time in Queen Square. You wouldn't go and sit in Queen Square because you'd just be sitting on basically a road verge.
These days they have many events there, don't they?
No, absolutely, yeah. And you go, I mean, if it's a sunny day, just office workers and so on, just go and sit there and enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, it's a nice little oasis of calm,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Although there was a riot there a few hundred years ago, and the floating harbour, that's not really a park as such, but it's an area
it is, and I think it's, obviously I've got interest in canals, and a few years ago we did bring our canal boat down into the harbour and we actually moored right behind the glass boat.
Oh, wow.
Right down under the wall. And actually, you're quite hidden there because the boat's sort of down below the wall level. So
Have you still got a canal boat?
Still got a share in a canal boat, yes.
Yeah. So where's that tethered normally?
It's normally up near Lichfield. It's just right on the side of the A38 in Lichfield, boatyard there. But we go around. We went up to Chester earlier in the year.
Oh, that's meant to be very nice.
Lovely, yeah.
Well, the Bristol and Bath Parks Foundation is a groundbreaking initiative which aims to rethink the way we support our parks and green spaces. And the issue here, I suppose, principally is cutbacks, isn't it? Because councils have been squeezed and, well, they've been overloaded with, I'm afraid, some onerous things they've got to pay for, which perhaps they shouldn't have to pay for, which has meant they haven't got any spare cash. And, of course, one of the things they look to save money on is parks, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And parks are not a statutory service. They don't have to spend money on parks. And that's something we've actually, through the Parks Forum, we've been campaigning for, that the government really should give the local councils a sort of duty to look after parks, because at the moment they're obviously suffering cuts, and there's some things they have to spend money on. They have to empty the bins, they have to look after the roads and that sort of thing, but parks they don't have to spend money on. So we've spent, I guess it was 10 years ago or so, maybe more, I got involved in the Parks Forum, having been a member of Friends of Troopers Hill, and really we've spent a lot of that 10 years talking about cuts and what the effects of cuts are going to be. And Parks Forum Committee just sort of got to the stage where we thought, well, there must be something else we can do. There's something we can do to sort of enliven parks and get more things happening in parks and promote parks. And we sort of had that conversation, and then there was a lottery funds available through Nesta in London. And we spoke to the council and put in an application, and we got some money to set up this charity.
So. Yeah, it's a great thing that the lottery actually does very well to help groups like yours. I understand there's a similar initiative in Bournemouth, isn't there?
Yeah, so Bournemouth started about 4 years before us. The grant we got is what's called a replicating grant. So we're working with Nesta in London and some great people there, Tiffany, Amy, Alice, give them a mention. They've given us some great support. And also Kathy and particularly Michael at Bournemouth were really inspiring, because they started, as I said, 4 years before us. And just talking to Michael, really, when we were thinking about going for the grant, I gave Michael a call, and he was just so inspiring about what you could do and how you could try and promote parks and get things happening in parks, that we knew it was the right thing to do. So we put in the bid, and we got Bath on board with us. So Bristol and Bath councils working together, that's quite a good step as well.
Well, I have to say, Victoria Park in Bath is one of the finest parks, I would say, in the country.
Absolutely, yeah, and a brilliant play area as well, isn't it? And there's parts of it you can go and be quiet. And the Botanic Gardens, that's fantastic. There's a little building there, Temple of Minerva, we've had a couple of meetings in. And actually, you can use that, you can get married there if you want. It's actually a fantastic location.
Yeah. Now, it was mooted for a time that all funding for parks would be withdrawn, which everybody just reared up at, and it seemed a ridiculous thing, because I think if you don't put any money into parks, then the whole interior falls apart, and they attract crime, things get over, and you create a problem that didn't exist beforehand.
Exactly, you get a spiral, a sort of downward spiral, as soon as you know, people don't want to go there. If parks don't look well kept, then people won't go there.
It's a false economy to fund them, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to end up costing, I mean, in the end, though, the only option is that if you're not going to fund them, you end up having to sell them off, and that's something we definitely
But nobody will allow that. The resistance.
Exactly. So certainly in Bristol, there's a big movement against any talk of selling any green space off, and the politicians know that. So we had a petition, was it 2 years ago, against that cost neutral idea. We've had some really good conversations with Councillor Asher Craig since then. They have accepted that they've got to put some core money in, and the council has got to keep doing the core things of cutting the grass and emptying the bins and looking after keeping the paths in order and all that sort of stuff. But then what we're doing through the charity is trying to raise some extra money on top of that to try and get extra things happening in parks.
Yeah, because if they're busy places, if they're used by the community, if they're valued by the community, then people would take care of them. It sort of perpetuates the cycle of goodness, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And there's fantastic parks, a real good range of parks and nature reserves. I mean, in terms of parks, we're not just talking about traditional parks, we're all green spaces that are managed by the council. So a lot of that, there's nature reserves, there's Badocks Wood, Troopers Hill, of course, Eastwood Farm, lots of spaces which aren't parks but are green space that people can go and there's such benefits from green space, the health benefits, mental health benefits.
Well, I've got a little list here which is on your website. Parks are places to meet, to play, to learn, to grow, to breathe and to enjoy nature. Something for everyone,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, it is something for everybody, yes. Yes.
And many people over the years, me included, would have taken a break in a park. I mean, I've been to Brandon Hill in the past when I've not been on this particular shift, and you go down with a sandwich and sit there, maybe you throw a few crumbs to the birds that are knocking around, and it's just a little bit of a break. Because surrounded by greenery, it's a great relief, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And there is such a range of parks, and it's important to look after the small local parks as well, and not just focus on the big parks, because there's the smaller spaces where you can just walk out your front door, across the street and into a small green space. That's worth having as well, that experience. And you can get, and some places you can get away from people. Some parks you might, you know, kids want to go and play. There's the paddling pool at St Andrews Park, and there's cafes and that sort of thing. But some people just want to go somewhere that's quiet and away from everywhere. And if we've got enough parks, then you can do everything in different parts of the same park, or in different smaller parks have different feel about them.
So if you had a limitless budget, what would you like to see happen to our parks in this area?
I'd like to see them. I think one of the main things is to get toilets is something that always comes up, but that's something we've got to address. But also get some more cafes and more things happening in parks.
Yes,
and give people a reason to go into parks, because all these health benefits, you don't get those if you don't go into the park. And also, I think sometimes people travel. I mean, maybe they'll go to Tinsfield or somewhere where they actually have to pay quite a lot of money to go there, and don't realise they can get those same a lot of those same benefits just from walking across and using some of the local parks, or getting on the bus or whatever. And I think the local parks aren't well enough known, and they need to be more promoted, because the council has never had any money to promote them, and really has no reason to promote them, because
what's the point?
well, and the more people using the park means more litter in the bins and more costs for them. But but now we need to get people using parks. It's good for everybody and for health.
Yeah.
And we need to get more trees planted in parks. We need to get parks looking better, better looked after.
Yeah.
Get more volunteering, because volunteering has both benefits for the people who are volunteering. And gives them more community feel. If you go there and you help working with your neighbours and helping plant shrubs or whatever it is in a park, or maintain roses or whatever, then that's good for the community, but it's also good for the park. So it sort of benefits both ways. So,
you mentioned toilets a moment ago, and I don't know if there are any parks in Bristol which still have toilets, but I used to use toilets from time to time. In fact, there's toilets on the corner of Muller Road and Fish Ponds Road at Eastfield Park, and I remember famously going in there some years ago and changing my trousers before I went off to go to a concert. But these toilets have closed down, and of course they've fallen into disrepair. I mean, realistically, a lot of them are never going to reopen,
well,
are they?
Well, some parks still do have toilets. Mm. They are actually putting new toilets into St George Park to replace the ones that closed there, because there was a big thing in community that we really did need toilets in.
Yes.
There. I think you're going to have to pay probably 20 pence to use it, but that's more of a security thing than actually a money making thing. It is a problem that needs addressing. And the other way of doing it, which they've done particularly in Bournemouth, is if you set up a little cafe, then you can have the toilets in there, and the people who are running the cafe can look after the toilets. So they've got a site down in Bournemouth where they've put in a small sort of visitor centre cafe, and they've got toilets there. They're not making any money from it, but they've got the toilets. And that means more people are using the park.
And it becomes a more appealing facility.
Absolutely.
Now, you're reaching out to the public to find out what people value in their parks. And you've got this website, yourpark.org.uk, haven't you?
Yes, and the T-shirt.
T-shirt. And people can look at that and respond.
Yes,
can't they?
And we would like to get people's views. What we will be doing is, obviously, we're going to try and raise funds. Some of that will be about specific projects. Some of it will be for more parks more generally. But we want people to tell us what's important, what they think are important about parks. I mean, we've got our own ideas, but we want to hear from people what they think is important, and then we'll put together some projects that sort of reflect what people have been telling us.
Well, I think it's a great initiative, and if you want to support the Bristol and Bath Parks Foundation, search for them online. If you've got something to say about parks, if you want to chip in, look at that website, www.yourpark.org.uk. And finally, Rob, I mean, you look at the history of this country, the civilising effect that parks have brought to our towns and city centres. I mean, it's part of the fabric of society, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, right. Well, Victorians particularly knew the importance of parks. And when they built new areas, St George, when it was built, there was a park there, because they knew the importance of that to local people.
Yeah. And of course, there was more space available in those days. All the land wasn't covered in housing in those times. So there was the space available to plonk a park in. But we should hold on to these
absolutely.
Precious assets.
And it's really important when the planning and new places are being built, they think about parks and keep the parks. Yes.
Lovely.
Absolutely.
Well, real pleasure. Every success to you, Rob. Thank you very much for
Thank
coming
you,
in Sue. Today. That's Rob Acton Campbell from the Bristol and Bath Parks Foundation. If you want to comment, then look at the website yourpark.org.uk.